views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Fired up for Spirit Fire Radio, your guide to practical mindfulness and meditation. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day. Watch yourself connecting in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now here's your hosts, Tim Darter and Steve Kramer.
Hello, this is Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Happy New Year.
Yes, this is sort of our
first show of 2016.
It is indeed. We've had a couple replays, some of our greatest hits shows playing. And so now this is our first live show. So it's great to be with you, Tim, and great to be with everybody who's listening. And we're starting this new year as we start all things, so it seems, on Spirit Fire Radio with the dynamic Miss Lori Warren in the wings. Lori, thank you for joining us in this new year. So we started the last round in Spirit Fire Radio with step one of the practice, smile. And we had so much fun and we learned so much talking to you about nutrition and the foods we put in our bodies and the way we make our cells smile that we thought, well, let's start the new year off in the same way. So it's great to have you back, Lori. Welcome.
Thank you. I love it. I'm super excited to be here and I really appreciate you inviting me back. I had fun the first time and I think we talked a lot about really interesting stuff and I look forward to doing it again today.
Yes. And so, you know, Steve's always using four letter words when it comes to nutrition.
Yeah.
He's using the word diet.
That evil four letter word diet. So I'm going to try really hard.
But when we had you on last time, we got into language a lot and how important that was. So do you have some similar things when it comes to New Year's resolutions? And
you're on to me, Tim Darter. I do. I am, in case people weren't on that first show that we did together, I definitely feel that words are very, very powerful. And history has actually shown that to be very true. And so, you know, using the word diet, which connotes something that you go on and therefore off, I don't think it's as effective as talking about a food lifestyle that you're embracing. And with a new year, New Year's goals, I think, are better replaced with the words New Year's intentions. And we can talk about that if you're interested. But that's definitely, I make New Year's intentions for sure, but I don't call them goals, and I have reasons for that.
Well, certainly intention is such a softer word, and it's not a four-letter word. Goal and like diet. So, you know, you can just sort of sense into those words, lifestyle and intention. They feel wide open. You know, they feel sort of like something you can embrace and not something that you feel want, like I have to do, you know, or else. And they don't really have results connected to them, I'm also sensing as well. You know, with a diet, you've got this preconceived notion of what you're going to look like in the end and how you're going to feel in the end. And with a goal, until you reach the end, you're just not there. So it feels a lot softer, those words.
Yes. And I do like think that we can, I think being softer with ourselves just in general is helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to start this whole new year on Spirit Fire Radio with inviting guests that we feel really sort of talk quite a bit about living awareness. We ended the round around Christmas time, around the holiday season, and we had really lovely show talking about living awareness. And we're still sort of in that vibe of really feeling the fullness of the intention to live with awareness. And I know that has so much to do with creating food intentions, for creating those for the new year, and maybe some habits we'd like to incorporate. And so much of it, I find personally, comes down to awareness and how I feel about what I'm putting in my body and how my body responds. Yeah,
totally. And I think it's really important. You know, just this popped into my head while you were talking, Steve. So most New Year's goals, the way people normally do them. So we sit down and we decide, like, you know, oh, I'm a little heavier than I'd like to be. I don't exercise enough. Losing weight is actually, I think, many years running is the number one New Year's goal or resolution. And I think the statistics say it lasts something like 5 or 6 weeks. So that's a bummer out of 52 weeks. Most New Year's goals, I think a lot of times, you know, unintentionally, people start off on the wrong foot by making very arbitrary commitments. So by that, I mean, someone will say, oh, well, you know, I just don't like the way I look in the mirror and I don't feel good. So I want to lose 15 pounds in 2 months.
Yeah.
It's very arbitrary. Like, where did you come up with that? Like, where did the 15 pounds come from? I mean, that's actually a fair amount of weight to lose in 2 months. Good weight loss is considered a pound a week. So you're basically doubling that by making that goal. It's not that it's undoable. It's just, I think a lot of times when we're setting intentions, it's good to be realistic. And I almost can't believe I'm saying this on the air, but to set the bar lower than you might want to in all your exuberance at the beginning of the year.
Well, I sort of hear why you don't want to say lower, because once again, in a way, that sounds like a condition. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, where I'm hearing, and I'd love for you to repeat that just so I heard you right, healthy weight loss is actually 1 pound a week?
Healthy weight loss, yep, is a pound a week, you know, max two, but a pound a week is considered great weight loss.
Wow.
Because here's the thing, Steve, is that, you know, we get pummeled because all advertisers know that this is, you know, a big wish of most people is to lose weight. Because, you know, something over 60% of the US population is overweight or obese. So that's a pretty big need. And they know this. So most of the things you see, like, you know, you're online and it'll say, lose 15 pounds of belly fat in 3 weeks. And so there's this, wow, really? And it's really not doable or sustainable. And what happens is that goal, so now your only goal is just to lose belly fat, which, you know, isn't a bad thing. I mean, it'd be great to lose the belly fat. But the issue is that is not a sustainable thing. You've set this very sort of arbitrary goal that sounds amazing, like it's an eye candy thing, but it's an ear candy instead. You're like, wow, that sounds great. And then you set it as your goal. And then let's just say hypothetically for our conversation that you do get there. What have you learned along the way that's going to allow you to sustain that? Most of the time you haven't learned anything. Most of the time it's been all about taking things away from yourself and not being very nice to yourself in your head. And so at the end of that, it's kind of like, whew, there. Okay. So back to what I was doing before that actually made me overweight in the first place.
Right. Which is like, I'm now exhausted from putting so much energy into not eating things that I'm actually just going to reward myself by eating them all again.
Exactly. And that is, I'd love to at some point during this conversation to have a little discussion about willpower. Because people rely on that way too much, and it's actually a finite source. And they use it in often unknowingly in an incorrect way to reach this, you know, very, very aggressive goal. But that by the time they get there, they're completely exhausted. They've exhausted all their willpower. And then they go right back to what made them feel lousy in the first place.
Which is so interesting, because knowing you so well and having really heard quite a bit about your ideas about food lifestyles and nutrition, is there's as much sort of really extreme gumption put into it. And it sort of matches the kind of foods that someone has been eating all along, which is like empty carbs and immediate satisfaction. It seems to have that same really sort of aggressive and out of balance and really intensely satisfying what I want right now with my willpower, which is I want to lose the weight, is the same as I want to taste chocolate. You know, it's got that same energy to it. So you can actually see how that would be the effect. There's not much gentleness to it. It sounds just as extreme. So I'm a big aha light went off in my head hearing you say that.
Yeah. And it's really, most really developing and cementing lifelong habits one at a time in a doable fashion. And we can talk about, steps for actually making good on your New Year's intentions. But my thing in my practice, my clinical practice, is always lifelong habits. You're cementing habits one at a time in a doable fashion. It's not very sexy or exciting sounding. Like, I'm doing the South Beach diet. That sounds sexy and exciting. But doing things one at a time in a doable fashion is actually how real change and evolution happens. It's how we've evolved as a species.
Well, you know, and I have to say that just to bring it back to meditation, which I love to do, which is, you know, it's a 14-step practice. And some people say to us, my God, 14 steps? Well, yeah, it's a process. You know, meditation is a thought. It's a process of getting to know your mind, getting to know yourself through your mind. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. And to think it's going to happen overnight is just going to, in the same exact way, as I would presume is almost with anything, that we put an unrealistic pressure on ourselves or we've got unrealistic goals. The truth of it is that it just can't sustain itself. And it's very similar, that it's something that takes time and it takes practice. So, Lori, I really want to hear a little bit about some of these foods that might be right choices, that might lead to like a really gentle, sort of kind way of fulfilling these intentions. So we're going to go to a break. And when we get back, I'm excited to hear more.
Great. Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat, joined here by
Dr. Nusheen Darvish.
Dr. Pat Basile and Dr. Nusheen Darvish will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
I'm so excited to be talking about this. We have so much to share. Dr. Darvish and I are planning to do is connect the dots.
People suffering with all sorts of chronic diseases. It's time. It is time for them to transform.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio and help keep our mission strong.
For the loyal listeners out there that have been listening to this incredible show on Lyme disease, we are not going to let you down. We're going to come through stronger and enrich the platform for Lyme disease awareness through Lyme Talk Radio. The message will continue. The conversations will become stronger and the healing epic.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Radio. Find Your Shine with Kelly is the show that celebrates what makes you, you. Join co-hosts Kelly Wadler and Dr. Pat Basile as they break down how to brilliantly fuel and move your body and love what makes you shine. Kelly is a professional arts and wellness coach dedicated to helping brilliant women find their confidence, energy, self-love, and shine. Tune in to Shine On Radio with Kelly and find your shine on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Financial planning is upon us, where it is just as important to focus on your inner wealth game as it is your outer wealth game. Would you like to be in the forefront of this new groundbreaking financial movement? Lynn Brown, award-winning financial planner, energy coach, and international radio host, will share real, actionable money wisdom infused with empowering tips, fear-busting exercises, and money-growing magnetism. Are you ready to create your fully financially healthy life? Join Lynn for this free, two-hour, full-spectrum financial planning workshop in Bellevue, Washington on January 12th from 6 to 8 p.m. Register by January 5th as space is limited and will fill up fast. Call in today at 425-372-4749. That's 425-372-4749. Light food and beverages will be included. See you there.
Two Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
America.
Calling out. Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Today we're talking with Lori Warren.
Lori, it's great to have you here.
Yay, great to be here. Thank you.
So before we went to break, yes, we were talking about the new year and how so many of us fall in this trap of new year resolutions. I have to say, I'm one of them. You know, I started the new year and I decided to just take very specific things out of my diet. I decided to take sugar, you know, processed sugar. I grew up in a house with lots of sugar, always a cake, always a pie, always cookies all the time in constant rotation when I was a kid. And, you know, we can always make excuses and blame our parents. So that's a default. But anyway, so I took sugar, I took booze, and I took gluten out of my diet, and dairy. Did I mention that? And so, you know, I was doing great and feeling good, feeling really centered, full of energy, just feeling awesome. And then, you know, we run a retreat center, so we're often really supplying, getting food, getting everything ready for retreats. So we're, you know, it's that time when you're actually shopping and you're hungry and you're in a grocery store and there's food all around you and you just stumble in Trader Joe's upon their chocolate covered sea salt butterscotch caramels. That was it. I was toast. I ate the whole thing. I was literally like hiding down different aisles so Tim couldn't find me so I could like eat them all and he wouldn't have any. So it's so easy to turn into monsters. I'm sure everyone around us knows that. But you know, the great thing is what's great is I felt a little crappy, you know, I got a lot of energy, then I crashed and I kind of went through it all with an awareness. And I really wasn't so hard on myself. I said, well, you know, next time, know better, eat something during the day, don't have a long day of shopping without eating. And you got weak and I didn't beat myself up and I lasted pretty long without doing it again. But again, I think a key to it is kindness, right? Like just be kind to yourself through the whole process.
Totally. And there's actually, you know, and that sounds lovely and it's so true, but there's actually hard science, like neuroscience, that backs that, that when folks are unkind to themselves, when they slip up, which we all do, every single one of us, that actually makes you more likely to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And because we're so used to it or?
No, it's because, so you basically, in that moment, you've said to yourself, Steve Kramer, you're such a loser. You're never going to stick to anything because here you are in the aisle hiding behind the cans of tomatoes, eating all these chocolates. So apparently you're, you know, an insufficient human being. And then your subconscious mind, which is pretty much how we run our whole lives, says, oh, right. I got that. Okay. Check. We're loser, weak people. Got it. So then your subconscious mind, which runs everything, then decides that going forward, you will continue to act in a weak loser fashion.
Right.
I mean, or,
if we get to that in some instance, when we get to that low vibration, then we match it again because the brain knows chocolate covered butterscotch sea salt.
Right. Yeah.
Just go for it again. Yeah. So
right.
I guess that's.
And you brought it up well, Steve. It was when you were younger, it was, you know, probably part of the reward system.
Totally.
You know, if you finish your dinner, you get a dessert. And most people grew up with something like that. So we have very emotional attachments to certain foods and they're actually cues for us, cues and rewards, which, you know, we can talk about at some point if we have time during this conversation, but very, very important to replace those cues and rewards with something else if you really want to change your behaviors.
Yeah. Or also even just comfort, you know, even, you know, you're crying, you're feeling bad, something's off in your system, and someone hands you a cookie and you go, wow, that tastes great. I feel good. You know? And when you're a kid, I think you can rebound a little better from sugar than you older, you know, I mean, rebound, like bounce around. But when you're older, it doesn't work. So now listen, that brings me to something I'm dying to hear about from you.
Okay.
You have this program called GP3, and you can tell us quickly a little bit what that's about, but I know that there's specific things that are sort of not in the diet. It's sort of bringing someone to know what their body feels like without these foods that actually really put a sort of an imitation energy into our energy system. So to find their sort of center is the way I would word it. You might word it differently. So if you could tell us a little bit about that and what those foods, what does that entail?
Yeah, so GP3, which stands for Group Power Purification Program. And then I run individual programs with people all throughout the year. So people can do purification, it's a cleanse, like a detox, a 3-week program. And I do it 3 times a year as a group. And then I do it with people all year individually. And the way that I've designed the program, one is that it's a 21-day program. So that's not just a random thing. So most studies show it takes us about 21 days to make a new habit. And although I love what people get out of this program, and they love it too, as far as feeling more energy, feeling cleaner, having more level mood, more focus, they lose weight, like the list goes on. But in addition to all that, what I love for people to get out of it is typically they come out and they're like, holy cow, like I just actually learned experientially what it feels like when I feed my cells real food, like actual nutrients. So now that I know what that feels like, instead of this crazy Lori Warren person going on and on about what a difference food makes, now I know it for myself. And I want to know what I can do going forward. What can I take out of this program and bring into my, what I call your new normal? So what are some of the habits that you've learned that you can just keep going with? So some of the things to answer your question that are pulled out during this program, there's 6 things that are intentionally pulled out because they tend to create sadness in the body. So, and that's the opposite of smile, which is what we're talking about today. So number one is sugar. And I'm putting that purposefully as number one. So sugar, alcohol, caffeine, grains, dairy, and soy. Those are the 6. So those 6 foods, and there's other foods that are removed too, but for different reasons, like things that are really good for you, like nuts, because they are a high allergen. But those foods are removed because by and large, especially in the amounts that we typically consume them as Americans, they're just really not serving us at all. And sugar is a big one because sugar, like dairy, is actually an addictive substance. So both sugar and dairy are just as addictive, literally, I'm not making this up, as cocaine. So it feeds those dopamine receptors in our brain and we really like it a lot. And then when we don't have it for a while, we really want it again because we want that feel good feeling. And so after 3 weeks of not having those in there, I can tell you it can be pretty tough the first like 5 days. But once you get it out of your system, just like a drug, once it's out of your system, you're like, oh, wow, I'm actually okay without that. And we become sort of resensitized to feeling normal and not having those highs and lows and addictive feelings and just eating really good, real food.
Right, right. And I would imagine that reaction response, like that sort of reaction of get more sugar, I'm down from sugar, get more sugar, or that just hear you, it's the up and down. And did I hear you say 3 days? Like after about 3 days, you start to level out, but then
it's about 5 days, yep.
About 5 days. Mm-hmm. And then 21 days, sort of that habit you've created with Whole Foods is established. So I like hearing those numbers. It's nice to hear.
Yeah, the thing is that we make intentions with our conscious brain. So with our conscious brain, we say, oh, I'm going to lose weight or I'm going to cut sugar out. That's our conscious brain says that. But we actually, the way we actually make them happen is with our subconscious mind. So that's why it's really great to do something for 21 days and create a habit, because once something habit, that's the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind's in charge of habits. Like you don't get up in the morning and say, well, I assume you don't. Most people get up in the morning and don't say, oh, am I going to brush my teeth today or am I not? They don't. They get up and they just brush their teeth. It's a habit. Like, you just do it.
Right.
So if you can do something for 21 days, it doesn't mean that you're always going to do it every single day after that. I mean, there actually have been nights I've gone to bed and not flossed my teeth, even though it's a habit. But you tend to kind of get right back on it because it's really the way you operate. It's your MO.
Right.
So I love the 21 days because people come out of it already feeling like, wow, if I did this for 21 days, I could probably keep sugar out for the most part for a while, like a long time. Like, I don't miss it. I feel good. And what's really cool is they're really noticing the changes in their body, their energy level, their mood. So that is kind of, you know, when I was talking earlier about like cues and rewards, that's like a reward. So instead of the reward being coming home and being able to gorge on chocolate, which is one kind of reward, the reward is, wow, I feel it's 8 o'clock at night. And I actually have energy. I feel good.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I can choose to go to sleep as a really gentle thing and not just fall down and crash. Yep.
Exactly.
Which is also really nice. Yep. And I hear it. It's sort of like, you know, you set the intention, again, not unlike meditation. It's you set the intention to meditate. You sit down, you close your eyes, you take a long, slow, deep breath, and then you're faced with your subconscious mind and you go, wow, what I've created. This is what my conscious mind has created through thought patterns and patterns I've got within my lifestyle. And now I'm really looking at my subconscious mind. And so it's very similar that we've got to use intent and we've got to use our conscious mind to actually create these neural pathways that will create the habits. So I hear you, and it's great. So we're going to go to a break soon, but I would love to come back and talk a little bit more about cheese and sugar. So after this break, back to the big addictors.
Okay, good.
You'll be back.
Fontaine with Sheer Alchemy on Transformation Talk Radio, and here's your tip for the day. What is abundance? It isn't the same to all of us. So what's your personal gold? Is it the full expression of yourself in business, or in love, or in the creation of a book or product, or the service you offer? All of the above? When we step into allowing our joy that corresponds with our essence, we are literally coming out of the closet and making new choices. We look and sound different. We don't even talk about the same things anymore. We have a new spark. So wouldn't it make sense that it causes ripples and earthquakes around us? When you shift, you affect everyone around you. You're teaching people to step into all that they are, and they will come to you and say, what have you done? What makes you different? Join me on Sheer Alchemy on Transformation Talk Radio, and let's go deep with your abundance.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. Make sure to add positive emotions to your counterbalancing thoughts. I know that feeling positive and compassionate toward yourself can be a huge challenge, especially when you're struggling with anxiety. Therefore, it's helpful to imagine that the main source of your negative self-talk is a younger part of your mind, which is just playing old tapes and repeating outdated protective programs. You will notice how much easier it is to speak in a calm, reassuring, and comforting way when you visualize addressing an inner child. By counterbalancing your negative thoughts with kindness and compassion, you automatically shift your consciousness and attitude from "I am powerless" to "I'm taking charge."
In- Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good, and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home. Has asthma or allergies got you singing the raspy blues? Allergy and Asthma Networks is the nation's premier nonprofit patient-centered network of doctors, caregivers, patients, and healthcare professionals who are dedicated to ending death and suffering due to asthma, allergies, and related conditions. Join President and CEO Tanya Winders each month on the Dr. Pat Show to learn more and visit allergyasthmanetwork.org today. Breathe better together with Allergy and Asthma Network. Has asthma or allergies got you singing the raspy blues? Allergy and Asthma Networks is the nation's premier nonprofit patient-centered network of doctors, caregivers, patients, and healthcare professionals who are dedicated to ending death and suffering due to asthma, allergies, and related conditions. Join President and CEO Tanya Winders each month on the Dr. Pat Show to learn more and visit allergyasthmanetwork.org today. Breathe better together with Allergy and Asthma Network.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We're so happy you could join us. And we are joined today with Lori Warren. And I'd love to, Lori, tell some people about you before we get back into our awesome conversation. So LoriWarren.com, you can go to LoriWarren.com and find out more about what Lori does as a nutritionist. And I would recommend to go to that website and sign up for her most awesome newsletter, which comes out every Tuesday and is just chock full of information and sass. So yeah. Lori, anything more you'd like to say about just, you know, the business side of things
going on?
Yeah, well, thank you for that invite to people, and definitely check it out. There's actually a lot of free information up there. And I do my newsletters that I send out every week, as you mentioned, are not fluffy. They have lots of great information to help people move their health journey forward.
They're
anti-fluff. That's the sass. And yeah, what I'd love to talk about a little bit is the retreat that I have coming up at Spirit Fire.
Yeah.
In April, so the first weekend in April, and it's a repeat of when I ran there last fall, which was extremely well received, and people just got a ton out of the retreat. And Steve was actually there teaching meditation, which was fabulous. And we had delicious food and a very rich curriculum on what I call not only body sass, but mind savvy. So both of those pieces need to be addressed in order to make change in anything in your life, really, but especially around food and health. And so we cover all that. We talk about stress management. We talk about using the mind in ways that's going to serve you. And then we get into the nitty gritty of food and prepping and planning and
science,
lots of science. I'm a total biochemistry geek. I try and keep that to a minimal so people's eyes don't roll back in their head.
Yeah. I was blessed to be in a number of the lectures because I was doing the meditation part, and I would sort of sneak in and have a listen when I wasn't in the kitchen. But, you know, just to let people know, Spirit Fire is located in Leiden, Massachusetts, which is in Western Mass, which is certainly close enough to the entire WBLQ listening audience. And we just had an amazing time. Everybody left your last retreat inspired, changed, you know, really integrating what it was that they learned even in just the days that we saw them. And I'm sure you've heard from them since that last retreat that they've kept that up. So any of the listeners who are interested, certainly LoriWarren.com, there's information there, or even at SpiritFire.com. So we look really forward to that retreat. And Lori, you know, there's something I think you might say that I would love to say about meditation. You know, we do live meditation in group almost daily with the practice of living awareness. And that can, all that information can be found at spiritfire.com. But there is something special to being in group and group energy, group support, sharing stories, sharing support. I know when we've got a meditative field going, we just finished our New Year's retreat. And those that were meditating in group who were new to meditation found such ease and such joy and so much available to being in group, and not only in the meditative field, but also in the discussions and in the just sharing. So I know that's really an important aspect of any kind of shift or change, or to your food intentions or your food lifestyle, is to have support, have people around to tell their stories, tell your story. So, you know, that's an aspect of it too. I know you're well aware of, is being in group at a retreat makes a big difference, huh?
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. And it's so important as a facilitator to really support. You know, one of my mantras in my work is to meet people where they are. So some people come. There was actually one gentleman at our last retreat who was very resistant. I'm a little unclear as to why he came. I think it's because his partner was there and she really wanted to come. And so in the beginning he was resistant. And by the end, I actually, couldn't stop talking and was, you know, contributing the group and walking around hugging everybody. And he was so excited. And he, you know, was sending me these emails about being a changed man. And, you know, it's really the group support, and it's the allowance of being able to be who you are in the group. Because a lot of people get like, oh, I don't want to go to one of those retreat things. It's all like touchy feely. And I have to talk about stuff I don't want to talk about. No, you don't. It's your retreat. Talk about what you want to talk about. You can be as quiet as you want to be. So I think it's important for people to feel supported and safe.
Yeah. Yeah. And isn't it human nature, as you're saying with this one guest, it's the ones that are saying, I don't want to go to that touchy-feely retreat. They want the touchy-feely the most.
Yeah, they do. Really, yeah, great. I mean, they do. And he did. It was so fun to watch him kind of metamorph. The size, is that a word?
I think so.
Yeah, it is. Well, now.
We really look forward to your retreat and creating vibrant health. You know, it's linked into so many choices we make. You know, it's linked into our mind, it's linked into our emotions, it's linked into what we put in our body energetically. Energy is everything. So everything is because of energy, everything is energy, and food is our source of energy. So my goodness, you know, we've really got to look at food when we're talking about what kind of energetic do I have in my life? So before the break, we were talking a little bit about the GP3 in this 21-day program and these certain particular foods that are taken out. And I just find that list so interesting. There's sugar on the list. There's alcohol on the list. There's grains on the list. Caffeine, dairy, soy. And so I'd love to go in just a little bit more. You mentioned sugar and cheese as being very addictive. And you said, you know, is as addictive as cocaine. But, you know, I'm a little bit of a science geek myself. So I'd love to add a little bit about cheese. You know, I've always been fascinated by our addiction to cheese. It doesn't agree with me. My stomach is upset. But when I'm really need to be comforted, I really want a pizza. I mean, I want cheese. You know, I want a hunk of cheese. I want yogurt. I want ice cream. And I've really studied, you know, I contemplate a lot. I teach meditation. I'm supposed to understand my mind. So I really would observe my mind, and I would realize that I started thinking, you know, it really is that wah, like baby, I want my mommy effect every time I wanted cheese. It was like, I just wanted my mommy. And it, you know, you realize that, and I've heard you say this before, and I've read, you know, again, to confirm, we really are the only species that continues to drink milk beyond the proper time we're supposed to be weaned from our mothers. You know, we keep drinking the milk. And if you do some research, there's actually chemicals in the milk that are absolutely addictive. They are opiates. They are literally heroin. I mean, not actual heroin, but opiates that are the same as heroin. So they're there for a reason. They're in the milk so that when we're children, we drink the milk and we number one, form a bond. We form a need, a bond with our mothers, and it calms us down. It pacifies us. That's why we go to the teat and we have some milk. Well, we continue that as adults, you know, and it's strange. No other species, not only, I've heard you say, not only, you know, drinks milk from other animals. I mean, it's only us. So cheese is a big thing, huh?
Yeah, cheese and dairy in general, but cheese in particular for people tends to be, you know, I call it adult candy. So, you know, the kids are clamoring for M&Ms, but boy, get people need near a cheese platter and they just sort of stand there popping cheese into their face. And it is, I mean, and, you know, all of us, I mean, when I eat cheese, I have to cut off like a certain number of pieces and then put it away. Otherwise it's just a disaster. but what you said is true. You know, we're the only animal that continues eating, drinking or consuming dairy after we normal weaning time. We're also the only animal that drinks the milk of another animal. Like you don't see, you know, a zebra nursing from an elephant. And we continue to consume it long after our body is actually able to really digest it well, because we're supposed to wean, you know, by like 4 years old ish. The digestive tract isn't producing as much lactase, which is the enzyme that helps us break down milk, which is why a lot of people, you know, you just said, you know, your stomach gets all wacky and probably gassy, and it's because you're just not digesting it well. But it does have that super, it has that addictive feel to it, and we do get comfort from it. You know, it is a lot what you were saying previously about that whole kind of way, I want my mommy, I want comfort. And we learned young that that is a comfort. I mean, it's probably our first comfort food, right?
Right. Indeed. So, and, you know, sugar's kind of, I find that the cheese pacifies us where sugar revs us up. You know, we're feeling slowed down, and I like it. I kind of think cheese is like the heroin and sugar's like the cocaine, you know, like I just need energy. And we just have more sugar. And when your energy goes down from the high, you want more and you want to get more high. So it's interesting. What also I find interesting is that list, you know, I also teach energy work. I teach esoteric healing, and I'm an esoteric healing practitioner. And if one were to create a system within their subtle bodies, within their energy system, that would facilitate a magnetic resonance with the patient, with the client, so that the greatest healing could take effect, it would be actually the exact diet. Those remove the caffeine, remove the alcohol, remove at least the gluten, you know, remove the sugar. So I find that interesting that, you know, so many of us have issues with this, and actually we'd all be better served just without any of us. We'd be very clean energetically.
Yes, it's interesting you say that. So I have all, like, when I do programs or I'm working with people, there's the things I'm doing, you know, that's very obvious. And then I have all these little sneaky subterfuge plans. And with, you know, the purification program, those things taken out, and people are eating lots and lots of vegetables, lots of dark leafy greens. And, you know, as you mentioned a little while ago, there's a very different energetic, or you alluded to, there's a very different energetic from a head of broccoli to a bag of Oreos or chips, very different energy. And the lighter, higher vibration that comes from something like broccoli or spinach, affects us very, acutely affects us, and how our energy is feeling, not only like being energetic, but also our energy that we are experiencing as a person. So one of the things that most people say at the end of the 3 weeks of not having any of those foods and having lots of amazing stuff that's super nutritious and building a healthy body, is they say, God, I've never felt so calm. I had one woman, actually, the last group program I ran, wrote me this long email saying, whatever it is that I've done for the last 3 weeks, I have never been this calm in my entire life. My mood is awesome. I'm calm. I feel more introspective. I feel more in control of myself and my emotions. And she's like, whatever it is, tell me what it is, because I'm going to keep doing it.
Right, right.
So, you know, there is a real shift there. Our food affects us on so, so many levels. And, you know, definitely energetically, definitely physiologically, chemically, it's powerful stuff.
And what's cool about what she said, you know, I can feel into the vibration of what she's saying is I'm feeling calm, but I can sense that there's still a vibrancy there. You know, it's not, and you can sense her wonder, whatever it is that you're doing. So you can sense that that she's not checked out or feeling dull or feeling, you know, I feel calm, which is I feel receptive. I feel open, you know, and has found like really her sense of alignment with herself, you know, and that again, I Lori, for some reason, when we talk, I just can't stop thinking of meditation. It's very much the same thing. You know, you put food in your body and you see what it does to yourself. Well, you put a thought in your mind and you see what it does to your system as well. Mm-hmm. One really affects you very, very clearly with your physiology and your digestive system. And we're able to see what that does to ourselves and feel that. But, you know, certain thoughts affect our nervous system and then they can in fact affect our physiology as well, as we well know. But they're so similar, you know, creating a calmness, you know, in meditation through the breath, you know, in your work through being aware of what you're putting in your body, but so much about finding a space where you can be open, where you can be receptive, where you're aware of actually what it is you're feeling. You know, you're aware of who you really are.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things you just mentioned, Steve, that is really important. I mean, it was all important, but that both in meditation and with food, when we constantly have thoughts that aren't serving us or negative or self-deprecating, and or if we are taking in food that is not serving us, in both those situations, it becomes such a background noise after a while, we don't even notice it, how it's eroding our ability to be vibrant beings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good.
And because we're just so used to it, it's this background. It's like having background music that you just kind of aren't even listening to anymore. Yeah. So maybe there's this like really awful music playing in the background. You really don't like it, but it's just kind of there. It's always been there. And after a while, you just kind of don't pay attention anymore, even though it doesn't make you feel good. Yeah. And it's a similar thing with our negative thoughts, our thought patterns and or food, where after a while, we just don't notice it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And we get in this sort of, it's the doldrums, you know, exactly what people are doing during this, during a purification or any sort of shift in their lifestyle is really not unlike just sitting down and taking a few breaths, clearing the mind and assessing, where am I? What am I feeling? What does life really feel like? What is the background noise? You know, what does it sound like? So Lori, not to just like, that was a very quick segue, but I want to get some things in before we're done.
That's totally fine.
In the break, we were talking about willpower, and I'd love, you had some really wonderful things to say about what is willpower and how can we use that to sort of stay in a rhythm that is facilitating awareness and vibrancy.
Yeah, that's a great question, and I could talk about any one of these subjects for hours, which would be long. I don't have hours. So what I will say about willpower, because it's super, super important for folks listening to understand this, is that willpower is actually, it's finite. So it's a finite resource and it can be drained. And this isn't Lori Warren making this up. This is like science. So it's exhaustive, both in the amount we have and what it does to the person. So meaning it is exhaustive, we run out of it, and it's exhaustive, it exhausts us. So eventually we can't do it anymore.
And you mean sort of like living on willpower, where that becomes a means to an end, correct? It's like willpower is the way to get through this.
Yeah, it's this real like a forcing thing, like, okay, I'm going to lose, you know, back to my 15 pounds in 2 months, and I'm going to do it by cutting out breakfast, and I'm not going to eat any sugar. And you make these really unrealistic expectations and expect to just, okay, for 2 months, man, I can power through this.
Right.
It's like, actually probably not, because it's kind of like, you know, we're talking at break and I'm a metaphor fanatic and I love using metaphors to explain things. And it's like getting in your car with its gas tank, filling it with gas and saying, there, my tank has gas in it. And I'm going to drive, you know, from Boston to LA. No, you're not. because that tank doesn't keep refilling itself. It has a finite amount of gas in it, and willpower is the same. So focused use of the willpower that we have is really necessary. The good news is that willpower is like a muscle. So almost like in that car, you can expand that gas tank, by mindfully using it. So willpower is like a muscle. It can be exercised, it can be practiced, and it can be built up. However, the flip side of that is it can also be forgotten, weakened, and atrophied. So using our willpower mindfully and using it in a focused fashion, so save it and use it for those times. So I'll give you an example when people are doing this 21-day program with me. So right around day five-ish, four or five, it's getting sometimes pretty painful for people. They are absolutely craving everything they can't have. And they're, you know, struggling to embrace a new way of eating, and it's very difficult. And that is a great place to use your willpower. What I've heard call as escape velocity, meaning you're at this lower place and you really want to zoom it up, but you got to like use the turbochargers. And the willpower is those turbochargers, but the turbochargers don't stay blasting for very long. So you have to use them very mindfully. You can't just say, I'm going to use my willpower for 2 months, because you're not. It's like trying to drive from Boston to LA on one tank of gas.
Right.
And the thing that's important to understand too is that humans are literally in their brain wired to move away from pain and toward pleasure. Mm-hmm. So this makes the focused use of willpower all the more necessary. Because we're wired to move away from pain. Okay, it's painful that I haven't had any sugar in 5 days and I want it.
Right, so that's painful.
That's painful. And I want to move toward pleasure, which in the past, you know, for this, you know, hypothetical person we're using, in the past, pleasure meant cookies or a Coke or, you know, something, or a bag of, what was it you ate, Steve? Chocolate covered something, caramels?
Yes.
So that's moving towards pleasure. Unfortunately, the pleasure is usually very short lived. And then you're left with even more pain because you just sort of, quote unquote, fell off the wagon of your intentions for yourself.
Right. And you're back to, I'm not going to have chocolate covered caramels. I'm not going to have chocolate covered caramels. Which is actually painful. You think it's willpower moving in the right direction, but actually it's resistance. It's resistance to the caramel. And you know, in the end, that is against our nature. And I would say, you know, I love hearing you say that we are wired for did you say pleasure and not pain?
We're wired to move away from pain and toward pleasure.
Right. So I would say that we're wired for ease, mm-hmm. joy, and we are wired to move away from resistance. It's important. Resistance is important. You know, we live in a world full of things and we have to know what we don't want so we know what we do want. We have to know how crappy we feel in order to know how good we feel sometimes. But what I hear you saying is that we don't sometimes realize when we're actually in resistance and we think that's the good thing. It's going to get us through, but it's this intense willpower that's, I'm going to lose weight. Instead of saying, you know, broccoli makes me feel really calm and really clear. Celebrate the broccoli. Don't use your willpower, you know, so much to sort of constantly stay away from the sugar. That's what I'm hearing you say, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And another important, just kind of side note in the little time that we have left, in addition to willpower, is it's really important. You know, you set a New Year's intention. So that's a commitment. And now you have to create habits that are going to back up that commitment to create new behaviors. A really important thing, more important than actually changing your habit, is to focus on your cues. What are your cues? So a cue could be something like, if you want to develop the habit of working out, you actually need to develop cues around developing a routine around initiating working out. And what I mean by that is, instead of just saying, oh, I'm going to work out, you say, when I come home, my cue is going to be, oh, I just walked in my front door. It's time to walk straight to my bedroom, get changed for the gym, grab a water bottle, and get back in the car. So it's the cues that we need to tune into, both the positive and the negative. So another cue is, it's 8 o'clock at night, I'm bored and tired, and I eat for something to do. So the cue is, it's 8 o'clock at night and I'm bored. So you need to
something to do.
So you need to think. So when that cue happens, it's 8 o'clock at night, I'm bored. What I encourage my clients to do is think of a new behavior and reward to follow that. You know, maybe it's, you know, maybe you like designing houses. So in your spare time, so you sit down and you start working on a house design, or you start cutting pictures out of Architectural Digest or whatever it is, like find what your joy is and turn to that instead of the, you know, chips and chocolate.
Yeah. So once again, it just comes back to gentleness again. It comes back to really very slowly, incrementally, creating a new lifestyle, using these intentions well, staying calm, staying clear, enjoying the good and not punishing yourself for the bad. I love all that.
Yep, that's exactly a good summary.
So, Lori, we're at the end. Anybody who wants to go to spiritfireradio.com, you can hear, you can look at our archives and listen to the first segment we had on Smile, Step One with Lori Warren. That was so much fun. That was a real science geeky show. That was.
Yeah, it was.
So I'm going to wrap this up. LoriWarren.com. That'll give you all the information and sign up for her awesome newsletter. Consider coming to Spirit Fire and join us for her great retreat.
Tim? We'll see you next week on Spirit Fire Radio.
Thanks, Lori.
Thank you. It's great fun.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to meditation and living with awareness. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover the ways that consciousness is being cultivated in everyday life. Connect to your day in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more about Spirit Fire, visit spiritfireradio.com.